From Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. It's time for The Kick Around, The Ticket's weekly show all about soccer. 2 hours of HSOs on the clubs, leagues, and tournaments of the world's game. It doesn't matter if you're new to the sport, don't worry. This is The Ticket. We're just kicking it around. Now, here's two guys hoping for short shorts to come back in style. Andy Swift and Peter Welpton.
Well, hi to ho, P1s. Welcome to today's Kick Around. As normal, Saturdays 2 to 4 here on Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310. The Ticket, where you, the good P1, sits around, talks soccer and all that implies. And you can find us on our website, thekickaround.com. Hi, for those new here, my name is Peter. How you doing? Good to see you here with the rest of the regular P1s. And by my side is my soccer-talking BFF, and word on the street is that he's open to signing a deal with Work in Progress, the amazing Andy Swift.
Thank you, Peter. I will not be disclosing any particulars regarding any future deal I may have with another show during the show.
Well, we're hoping you stick around. Do we need to offer you a new contract?
You know, I'd rather not have
to. Do I need to talk to your brother
publicly? Yeah.
Should I talk to your brother?
Just talk to my agent.
Your brother.
Yeah, right, my brother.
Your agent, the brother.
Right.
Very good. All right, we've got lots to do today. So much soccer talking, it'll make your head spin. We have Daniel Robertson. Robertson is going to join us to talk about the opening week of Serie A.
Yes, and by the way, can I just mention this now? I think it was midweek Wednesday when I texted you all excited about our big game, our big opening game against
Fiorentina?
Roma
yeah.
this weekend. And
yeah.
Nothing,
sorry.
Nothing back.
Sorry.
Nothing back.
I thought
you were a true Fiorentina fan.
I am.
I am one as well.
I am. Yes, I'm very worried that we're going to sell off our star striker for an incredible amount of Italian money.
Who's our star striker?
What is Italian money? I forget. Is it Euros?
Lira.
Lira. Thank you.
Who's our...
We'll talk about that later. We'll talk about that later. We're also going to catch everybody up on Ted Lasso. We did episode one, and then we went on hiatus. So since we last talked about it, there's been four more episodes. So we're through episode five, which debuted yesterday, which now includes kit news. So we'll have to talk about that. Keep everybody happy. But we need to start off with the week two of ye old Premier League and all of that good stuff that's going on. Woke up this morning, Andy, and immediately thought to myself, what is Andy Swift going to do? Because Liverpool is playing Burnley, but the game is on a streaming service called Peacock and will not allow him to DVR it so he can get up at his normal 7:30 time and watch it in delay.
Right.
What did Andy do?
Andy had to get up at 6:30.
Oh!
Only to find out now that apparently Peacock has changed and you can watch the game immediately after it's over. Is that the...
Yeah, people are saying that they've changed the rule, that this year they will start streaming the games on demand almost immediately versus the 9 p.m. the night
and
of the game.
You can rewind in-game because I did
yes.
not get up at 6:30 this
well,
morning,
I think...
But I was able to rewind when I got up,
okay,
which was new.
So let me yes. ask you, what device were you using to do that?
My iPhone.
Okay. So I do believe that the ability to rewind is not universal to just any particular Peacock app. I think it may happen on Apple products. It may not happen on Android products or Roku. I don't know. But I believe that's a recent addition.
Well, it's a welcome addition, Peter.
Yes.
Because last year we had none of that.
Like, I don't know if you can do it. Like, I have Peacock on an Apple TV. Mm-hmm. I've got it on iOS devices. Mm-hmm. I've got it on a TV that has Roku built into it. And I've got another Samsung TV that has its own operating system and a different app.
You're such a
So I don't know if it works on all of those things or not.
I thought you were the Geek
Out. R.I.P. Geek Out. Anyway. So you did get up this morning,
yeah, and I wanted to see the walkout, you know, because it was the first one in
it was glorious
15 months,
yeah,
something like that.
Yeah, the cop was doing it right. They had the whole organized card display.
Yeah, it was nice.
Did you shed a Liverpool tear?
No, I got goosebumpy. No tears, but goosebumpy. What?
Just hearing you say goosebumpy is really cute.
Sure, I'm cute. I'm the cute element of the
Mark
show.
Mark that.
We're getting lots of stuff in the first 20 minutes of the show.
You think you have to tell them? But yeah, it was like all these games featuring teams playing for the first time in front of their home crowds in a long time. All these scenes have been great. And like I was telling you off air, with the exception of a few sterile environments like City, which you disagree. You think City was still pretty cool, I guess. But, you know, United last week and Brentford.
I thought Leeds today was amazing. Brentford last week.
Exactly.
Villa was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So
Newcastle.
Brighton.
Yeah. All of them have been good. Yeah. And I do. City, I think, sometimes does get a bit of a bum rap as being sterile. But there's some history and stuff behind that.
Oh, there's history. It goes back 10, 12 years.
Yeah.
Their history.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I'm kidding.
Look at Andy throwing
sugar
smacks
around. Just being a jerk.
I'm not. I'm kidding. I said I was kidding.
So here's the thing. Liverpool and Jurgen Klopp, I have to be honest. I spent an inordinate amount of that game being completely distracted by the fact that I do not recognize Jurgen Klopp anymore now that he's not wearing glasses.
He should get those fake glasses, like the
prescription-less
glasses.
He should just get clear lenses in his old glasses so that he continues to look like the guy that I know and love. Because he doesn't look the same.
He still acts the same a little bit, though. He seems calmer. Doesn't he seem more calm?
Yeah,
anyway?
He does.
I wonder why.
But I was very thrown off. I was hearing people. I didn't see him last week, but I kept hearing people reference the fact that he had stopped wearing glasses. I guess he's gotten LASIK or something.
Yeah.
I'm also thrown off by those new Nike coaching jackets that have the, not even kind of oversized, but the extremely, oversized that the entire logo actually doesn't fit on the jacket.
Yeah. You are a kit nerd.
I am.
When you start talking about the coaching
so,
jackets.
So, I don't know why, but Jurgen Klopp always makes it sound like playing Burnley is a tantamount to being in a Super Cup final or something.
Burnley's a tough team.
Well,
and they beat them last year. They beat Liverpool.
Yeah.
And, you know, Burnley.
But a lot of people beat Liverpool last year. Just to be fair.
Thanks. Yeah. True. Burnley's a decent side. They have grit. And they put forth effort. And they fight hard.
They do try really, really hard.
They hustle.
I try really, really hard when I'm playing, too. But I'm not very good at this game.
They listen to their coach, you know.
All right. So. Our board operator, Josh, is a Burnley fan. Oh, he was anointed it by the wheel. But I have to know, Josh, did you got up and watched the game, right?
I watched like the second half. I did not. I rewound a little bit, but I did not watch the whole game.
6:30 is early on a Saturday. Give the guy a break, man.
Did you ever redeem? Well, by the time you turned it on, it was already 2-0, so you probably didn't have any hope in your heart.
I saw the second goal, then that's when I was like, not today.
It won't happen today.
Just another week in being a Burnley fan? Is that what it was?
I just had to prepare myself for Sassuolo to play.
Okay.
You should have seen those first 15, 20 minutes, though, because Burnley didn't look too bad or Liverpool didn't look too good, however you want to look at it.
Well, okay, so there are a lot of people commenting on the fact that they didn't feel like Liverpool looked very good today and didn't look very good last week either, considering their competition.
Yeah, okay, so.
I mean, Liverpool has the easiest schedule for the first 10 weeks, based on who they play. And, you know, Norwich and Burnley is not necessarily the hardest path into two games. And there are people asking openly how Liverpool's going to pull this off.
Pull off what?
Getting back to competing to being the champions.
Well, like we spoke about on the preview show, I think they're not at the level that Chelsea and City are at. But I think they're a top four team. I don't think I've seen anything in these first two games that dissuade me from feeling that. Their midfield is not intact yet. Today they were a little bit closer. Henderson played. He looked okay.
I thought that Elliot kid, 18-year-old kid, looks amazing.
He's going to be really good. You know, we shouldn't.
I mean, put that
into
perspective.
Here.
We talk a lot about Ricardo Pepi, who is 17. And starting for Dallas in Major League Soccer, and what an unbelievable accomplishment that is. Here's a kid, Elliot, who comes up through the Liverpool system and is a year older, maybe even less than that, and now he's starting Premier League games at Anfield. That is
And today
amazing.
Was a fill-in, because the other guys, Fabinho's out on personal reasons, and their midfield's not back yet, but you know, he could earn himself a starting spot because Keita didn't look very good today. I don't know what you thought of him, but
no, but Keita's been by and large a pretty big disappointment
since he's been purchased. He has. You said that a while back, and I said he needed more time, but I think we're at the point now where he's had the time he's needed. Then their back line, they're starting to still learn to play together after a long time.
I think
Arnold
Alexander looks like he's
back to normal,
playing much more normally,
right.
And back
Van
to
Dijk's
yeah.
Look good. Robertson's
Matt
out.
Tips, I think, has looked
right?
Fine.
So then and the front line's been okay.
And that Tomiskas Greek guy that you got, who I had totally forgotten you signed as a big deal last year because you never needed him.
Right.
I think he's really good.
He's filled in adequately.
His cross for the first goal was fantastic.
Was
that weird secret, that weird sequence where like 15 Burnley players came off the bench and like dogpiled him, and he squirted out with the ball and recycled play was amazing. Mm. Now, he looks like he's supposedly 23, but he looks like he's 75.
He's definitely partied on the Greek Isles a little bit, I think.
I think it's just genetics. Yeah. But he's not a bad player.
But the point is, of all this, and I think then you're agreeing with me, is that it hasn't been terrible. I don't know. I'm not as negative as these people are that you mentioned.
Well, there were pundits today saying
they like
that
to do those things. And you know, this team needs a little bit of time to start to gel because they have missing pieces and some new pieces, you know, that are coming back from long layoffs. So we're okay. It's great that we're starting off. That Liverpool is starting off with such an easy schedule for Liverpool supporters, but it'll get better.
Well, the other big thing that happened in this game, and Josh, your team deserves credit for this, and our good friend, Buzz Carrick of ThirdDegree.net, because this is his thing, right? Like Buzz, if he's famous for anything in the world, it's for him holding on to the tradition of soccer teams fielding players 1 through 11 and how each number has a relationship to a position on the field. And that's a big deal for Buzz. Well, Burnley today did exactly that. And in fact, it was such a big deal. It got a lot of news on the interwebs because the fact that they did that is interesting. Where is the tweet that I pointed out? I put a tweet out earlier today highlighting it's the first time in Premier League, in some time in the Premier League, that
just
a team
like
has actually fielded and 1 through 11 on the field.
So as soon as I read that, I went and looked at the positions to make sure that it wasn't just 1 through 11, but that they were positionally aligned, too, because that matters. And it's a big deal to me as well. Back in the Burn days, we used to dissuade new players from wearing numbers that wouldn't match. Remember Bobby Hammond, our team administrator?
Oh, yeah. Boy, do I.
He was tasked with that assignment. We would push hard for it. Some guys would push back. But and sure enough, the numbers are very true to the positions, for the most part, which is very commendable, including 10 and 9 being the top forward, the top guys, 11 and 7 playing winger positions, which traditionally, this dates back 50, 60 years, 7 and 11 are winger positions. And they're doing that. And then the back line is all low numbers. It's great.
So it's the first time this has happened, 1 to 11 in the top flight, not just Premier League, but the top flight since Charlton did it back in 1998 and 99.
Yeah, it's a lost art, Pete.
It is a lost art. So to explain why that's such a big deal to some people, Buzz has a historic article he wrote many, many years ago that is called Why Numbers Matter, and it goes through the whole history of soccer numbers and positional stuff, and I will retweet that article for you over at The Kickaround on Twitter. You should go read it if you're interested in understanding that history. Now, the other game today is Manchester City hosting Norwich. I think we both...
Game, quote.
Yeah.
Quote, game.
Did you have the Canaries getting relegated?
Yes.
Okay, I did not.
I didn't.
I think you had Watford and somebody else.
Yeah. I had Watford, Southampton, and Newcastle.
Right. And I'm very worried that
it's looking like a good bet now, right? It's two games. It's really early, but they haven't looked good now.
Well, let me put it this way. City scored 5 goals today, and argue with me that any of them weren't more about Norwich just being really bad at defending as much as it was City creating amazingly artful goals.
Yeah.
Lost marks, bad positioning, own goals.
Yeah, you can't do that against City and get away with it. In City's defense, in Norwich's defense, they've started off with a pretty tough schedule.
They have a miserably bad schedule. In fact, it always feels like the teams that are newly promoted to the Premier League always somehow magically end up getting screwed on their first few weeks.
Well, it's because they're always the underdogs because they just got promoted. So no matter who they...
I know, but it always feels like they end up playing a big six club, at least one or four of them in the first few weeks of the season.
Opening day, it typically has been the first game of the season. A newly relegated team against one of the big six.
Newly promoted team.
Yeah.
Yeah, against one of the... Or sometimes against the reigning champion.
Tough.
It's not fair. Now, the other bone of contention is, and again, I don't have any personal animosity against Jack Grealish. I think he's a fantastic footballer, as they say. But I do find his move to City to be a bit of a bore and also confusing because I'm still not sure he fits in with the club very well. Like, there was a whole amount of time today where he was standing there with making the, hey, pass me the ball sign, and nobody was passing him the ball because he's just positionally.
Like?
No, I just think positionally he's not used to playing the way Pep's teams play.
Right.
And I keep asking the question, who's going to change, Jack or Pep? Because somebody's going to have to change something to make that work.
I think in this case, you don't build so much around Grealish as you adapt Grealish into your system.
So he starts kind of in Sterling's position today. Mahrez and Sterling do not start in the game. He's got De Jesus playing out way out on the right, and he's got Torres starting in the center, and he's got Grealish on the left.
Gabriel Jesus.
Grealish scores a goal today, but it was accidental. It bangs off his thigh on a crossed ball and goes in, and of course he's like blowing kisses to the crowd, and
he opened
ridiculous.
His account.
You know, I was hoping he would just kind of laugh it off and go back to the center circle and let the play restart.
He's not going to do that. That's not his.
But City is off the snide. They got their win today,
and I didn't watch the game, but I heard Gabriel Jesus had a very good game. Despite that scoring.
You know what? He did play well, especially being played out of his normal position. And Torres scored a couple and played well. And, you know, City's going to be fine.
Sargent played 15 minutes.
Did he? Now, I had left the game by that point. But by the time it got to be 3-0, it was kind of a snooze. So I left and started watching some of the other games. Yeah, he's gotten a little bit of garbage time all the way around. So we'll worry about the Canaries as the season goes on, as they're now defeated. They have no points whatsoever after two games. There was a host of other games today, including, oh my gosh, we'll check in on the Brentford Bees and Newcastle and everybody else that took place today here next on The Kick Around.
If you've ever tried to buy a jersey for your favorite soccer club, especially one overseas, you've probably found out it's not as easy as you think it would be. But thank God for Soccer90.com, both the website and the actual physical brick and mortar store, which you should go check out up in Frisco. It's right next door to the Hall of Fame on Main Street. And you should totally do that because it's pretty awesome. And both inside there and on the website, you'll find a massive selection of jerseys and gear from clubs all over the world. Chelsea, Liverpool, Chivas, etc. And because we're talking about Serie A in this episode, they also have a wide selection of clubs from Italy, including customized Weston McKennie and Ronaldo Juventus jerseys. And if you're one of those who loves to be proud of Dallas soccer history, they do have the Great Dallas Tornado t-shirt, which is exclusively available at soccer90.com. And because you're a sweet, clean Kick Around P1, you get 25% off when you use the promo code KICKAROUND at checkout at soccer90.com.
Welcome back to the Kick Around. Before we continue, I, Peter, have a correction to make.
Can I guess what it is?
No.
Okay.
Last week during the dribble, I was telling the story of two female players that played each other in the Olympic bronze game.
Mm-hmm.
Mewis and Kerr. Kerr.
Yeah. You said that they were an item, right?
And her name, yep, and they are an item. I saw more Instagramming of that itemage going on.
So that remains a true fact.
And I for whatever reason, said her name is Kim Mewis. It's not Kim. It's Christy Mewis. So I apologize to Christy for using the wrong first name. Christy Mewis and Sam Kerr are in a relationship, which then caused me to ask questions about, does this new progressive society we live in create all sorts of issues for competitive nature.
Right, when they're playing in the
when
same game.
When you're playing in the same game against each other.
Significant other.
That's right. Exactly.
We made another mistake in the Open. I thought you were going to correct us on
that. What was that?
The Italian currency used to be the lira, but it is the euro because obviously they're part of the
European Union. Right, okay. Well, Italian money, whatever it is. We will talk more Serie A here in a little bit with our little buddy Daniel at the top of the hour. All right, let's get back into today's action of the Premier League. The best game of the day, without question, was the return to Elland Road, Leeds 2, Everton 2. Man, it is... Now, here's the thing. Leeds United was a significant... A club of significance when I first started watching the Premier League back in the late 90s, mid to late 90s, they were a club that was in there and their crowds were amazing and
Leeds,
dirty Leeds. And,
you could historically consider them one of the big clubs up to that point.
Yes, yeah. And the scenes at their stadium were always raucous and crazy, and we got more of that today for the very first time. It was really cool. By the way, if you've yet to watch... The documentary about Leeds since Bielsa became the coach. There's two. It's like one and a half seasons, really. It's called "Take Me Home" or "Take Us Home," and I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It is second only to the Sunderland show in terms of really, really good soccer documentary series to watch. And this, of course, was an amazing game because anytime Leeds play, no matter who they're playing, it's always entertaining because they just. Make the game that way.
They do. And, you know, other teams, whenever teams play Leeds, I think they adjust tactics more than they would against any other club because of the way, the singular way Leeds plays and just how much more they press than other teams. Not just teams are used to getting pressed by some like City and Liverpool up top and when they're defending and coming out of the back. Leeds will press you everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, it makes you have to be tactically, have to play a different game, slightly different game tactically. You have to be aware of that. And as I was starting to watch this game, I started to wonder, what is Everton trying to be this year? Because, you know, we don't know. They have a new coach and it...
But see, you should know this because the coach at Everton is your former coach at Liverpool.
Well, but you know, he is a good coach.
Yeah.
And then I realized they're just trying to simplify things. And if you just watch them, there's nothing overly complicated other than Soccer 101 with what they do, with what they've done so far. I don't know if part of that was because they were playing Leeds, though, and that you don't want to be overly complicated when you play Leeds because you'll cuff off the ball easy, right?
I've only seen bits and pieces of Everton this year. In their two games, and I watched a lot of the second half of this game because it got interesting, and I flipped over from the City Norwich game. But Sam, our producer, is a Everton fan, and to me they look like a completely different team from last season when Ancelotti was the coach and James Rodriguez was running things. And I don't even know what's going on with James Rodriguez in that other than the fact that he can't even tell the media who they're playing next because he just doesn't care anymore.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. That's why I started to try to figure out what are they this year because they look so different than they did last year, right? So
Sam, do you notice the differences between last year and this year?
Oh, yes. It's even through two games, like it's pretty jarring. The Ancelotti style was very much, it left a lot of open space in the midfield. They were giving up a lot of room. Teams could easily attack them. Where this year under Benitez, they've settled into the 4-4-2 for the first couple of matches. They're not giving up a lot of room. You've got to fight for a lot of the inches. And they're moving up through the wings a lot more where they were trying to play through the center a lot last year. Decore playing is more of a box-to-box six has really changed how they move up and down the field. Now they put Iwobi in instead of Townsend this week. As a kind of a pace sub, but they're trying to just move up your wings, play up the right or the left side depending on who's hot, and they're not giving up a lot of space. And the goals they even gave up today were largely mistakes on their back line, which is a leftover from the last about 5 years of Everton.
Those were issues in the back line. You saw issues, but it's Soccer 101. I mean, everything he explained is just simplifying things. And not that it's not going to get more complicated as the season progresses, but he kind of like just wants to reel everything in and restart.
But it's also why I was concerned that Everton is going to regress this year and fall back to maybe, you know, mid-table, true mid-table, yeah, like 10th, like, 11th, yeah, somewhere in there. The one thing that I noticed today, because I thought he played pretty well, at least in the time that I saw, Damari Gray. Do you realize they got Damari Gray for less than $2 million? That's a crazy smart purchase. Mm-hmm. That's a really good one. But I also want to say, because we'll talk about the other goal here in a couple of minutes, I will tell you, because we'll talk, like I said, the other goal is the one everybody's talking about. I'm not sure Rafinha's tying goal with his left foot isn't actually the best goal of the day. That is a ridiculously good goal. Did you see it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw it. Yeah.
Left foot, bends it around two or three Everton players into
created
the far,
space for
created
himself.
The space, and he does it on the run. It is a fantastic goal.
And you bring him up, he's been excellent.
He has.
So far, that even the game... Yeah, he's been good, and he was particularly good today.
With Calvin Phillips back in the middle and playing at home, Leeds looked way better this week than they did against United last week.
Maybe they're a bit disappointed they didn't get the 3 points because they did play at home, but Everton's not, you know, they're not a pushover.
What did you throw at the TV when Rafinha scored the tying goal? I just want to know.
About 50 words that are four letters.
Just words.
I had a small screen. I didn't want to break my laptop.
That was still early. It was still early in the game, and Everton had a chance to put it away at the very end. Did you see? I forget who had the chance.
Oh, goodness. I don't remember. But, yeah, they were pushing it all the way through.
All right. So the goal that we were talking about a couple of minutes ago is the goal everybody's tweeting and everybody's talking about. It is Danny Ings' bicycle kick from a throw-in for Aston Villa as they beat Newcastle at home 2-0 today. If you haven't seen that goal, it is beautiful, and it's ridiculously bad defending by Newcastle because it's a throw-in that gets flicked on, and Danny Ings is standing in an ocean of space, and he executes to perfection a sweet bicycle kick.
And that was especially nice coming today because Grealish scored over at City. And, you know, that's going to be the talk for a while.
Yeah.
You know, he's gone. Ings is in.
I know they didn't do well last week and people were worried, but I think Buendia looks good for Villa. You know, he took the 10, the number 10 jersey. I'm not too concerned about Villa. I think they'll be fine. Yes. Danny Ings will always find a way to score if he can stay healthy. Newcastle, on the other hand, I don't know.
Relegation.
Oh, that's the other thing. The VAR on the hand, the Newcastle handball.
VAR.
Did you think that you didn't see it?
No.
It went to VAR and VAR. You know, it was probably properly called, but I'm sure some Newcastle fans were unhappy about that. Crystal Palace hosted Brentford. Did you check out this one? It ended up at Donuts.
I thought it was a very good 0-0 game.
Crystal Palace hit a double post early in the game. The blonde-haired guy, I can't remember his name.
One of the twins.
Could you imagine being not hitting that? God, that must have really...
It hits the post, then the top of the crossbar.
Gallagher. I'm sure Crystal Palace probably feels like they should have gotten a result out of this, but Brentford has 4 points after their first two games, and they can argue that currently they're the Kings of London because they beat Arsenal and tied Crystal Palace.
I actually think they looked slightly better today than Palace. Palace came closer to scoring because of that Gallagher shot that you mentioned. But Brentford is the real deal. And to get a point away, not bad for a team that just got promoted. Palace, not looking good.
And I predicted that Brighton was going to get better and freak people out how far up the table they're going to go.
Yeah,
they are undefeated.
Up, yeah.
They beat Watford today 2-0, and I'm telling you, if they can continue to just score goals, that was the only thing they were largely missing last season. If Graham Potter can get those guys just to continue to do that, I think Brighton are going to freak people out and cause people trouble this year, and Watford lose today at Brighton 2-0. When we come back, there are big games tomorrow, including the biggest of them, Arsenal and Chelsea, Lukaku, and all that mess next on The Kick Around. Our Serie A correspondent, Daniel Robertson, has just texted me that there is some potential Weston McKennie rumors and news, and he'll share that here in a little bit before you know it.
Worrisome news? Do we
know? He just said there's some rumors.
Oh, no.
On The Kick Around, so we'll do that. All right, guys, we have so much going on. We were going through the scores today. Liverpool beating Burnley 2-0. Villa beat Newcastle at the same score. Palace and Brentford at Donuts. Leeds and Everton kissed sisters at 2. And City got 5 on Norwich. And Brighton beat Watford 2-0.
So, quick question for you. Did you find it odd that the big game of the day...
Yes, I did. I know exactly where you're going with this.
...was Brighton and Watford, the NBC game. Now, obviously, the Premier League doesn't care which game is on NBC here, although they do a little bit because
sure.
those ratings matter for their rights fees. But it's also the big game in England. And that's the game they chose.
Yeah.
Where this, like, tomorrow is loaded with huge games.
I was surprised that Chelsea-Arsenal
right.
wasn't the primetime, mm-hmm. quote-unquote, lunchtime game here today, and they moved that game to Sunday. Now, I'm sure maybe that has something to do, maybe it has something to do with other games. Maybe they're doing something midweek. I don't know. But tomorrow is a big day because in the morning at 8 o'clock, you've got two options at 8 a.m. You've got Southampton hosting Manchester United. That should be an interesting game. That is on Peacock. That's for the streaming fellows. Mm-hmm. And then Wolves is hosting Tottenham. And Tottenham's second week of an uncomfortable meeting of weird yeah. fits because Nuno goes back to the home where he was last at last season for several years mm-hmm, yeah. in terms of Wolves. And that game is on NBCSN.
And then they're also dealing with, is Kane, I mean, we don't know yet, right? I mean, Kane, will he play, not play, suit up, not suit up? Are we closer, not closer? It's all up in the air.
It has been, this is, you know what's interesting about the entire Tottenham Harry Kane story is how the fan base's perceptions of Daniel Levy, the guy that runs Tottenham, and Harry Kane seemingly have all shifted 180 mm-hmm. degrees because how Harry Kane, who, by the way, for all the stupid reasons that we see even here in the United States, do not, if you become a professional athlete, never, ever let your family member or members be your agent and representatives.
Happens so much, Pete.
It's the stupidest thing you've ever done and happens. Will ever do. Do not do it. It'll ruin your career. Because now Harry Kane, whose his brother is his agent, has managed to absolutely mess up the big opportunity for Harry to make a move somewhere. It may still end up being City.
Messed it up from a PR perspective, you mean?
Well, I think he may have even messed it up from just even getting the deal done. Because now it's gotten so ugly and so weird, maybe he won't move when he probably should have moved. Mm-hmm. But you're right. It is the perception of how Harry Kane is seen by the fans, and the Spurs fans, that I think has really, yeah. really gotten this to be very ugly. And now Daniel Levy, who's generally the villain in these stories,
right.
kind of seems like, well, hey, look, it is what it is, and I'm just doing the best thing yeah, for the club.
We're trying to keep him, this and that, you know. And what really hurts Kane and his image is, of course, that he's from the area. And that is, you know, I don't know if it would be this difficult if that wasn't the case.
Well, that and the fact that he committed to the club in a brand new 6-year deal a couple years ago.
Yeah, well, that's sports. That happens. Anyway, Nuno is going back to his old stadium. I think he will be received okay.
I mean, hope so. Yeah. I thought his departure from Wolves was really weird in the first place.
Because he was like eighth in line to get the Spurs job, basically, right? And it came so late in the game?
Well,
because that happened earlier. You're right. Yeah.
No, what I'm saying is like their agreement or whatever it was for him to lose the Wolves job was weird to me because they were obviously in bad form. Mm-hmm. They did not have a good season. But to me, that was singularly tied to the sale of his best striker, mm-hmm. one of his best scorers,
yeah.
and the head injury
and the
to Jimenez.
Death of the other, yeah.
The near death yeah. of the other one. That
right.
really screwed them.
Yeah.
And I thought he bared the brunt of that, unfortunately. And then again, as you point out, now he's at Tottenham where he wasn't the first, the second, yeah. the third, the fourth, the
that
fifth.
That was odd.
I mean, he may be the
yeah.
seventh or eighth
yeah.
or ninth pick to get that job. Now he gets a huge win in his opening game mm-hmm. in front of the fans. You know, beating City in week one at the new stadium mm-hmm. is a huge check for him.
Right.
I mean, that's a big, big yeah. deal. But now in week two, he's got to turn around and go back to the club that just fired him not that long ago mm-hmm. and try to get a result there.
Well, who had a disagreement with him? I think it wasn't so much a firing. There was a lot of mutual parting of ways
yeah,
to it.
I'm sure there
yeah.
was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And we're going to talk about this. We're going to talk about Ted Lasso in a little bit. But it dawned on me, and I never really thought about this when it comes to Ted Lasso, about how so many of the characters
yeah.
are relatable to real life
yeah.
characters.
Mm-hmm.
And the obvious one is Roy Kent,
mm-hmm.
who
yeah.
is Roy
yeah.
Keane,
yeah, right.
the ex-Manchester yeah. United mm-hmm. Ireland
now,
international.
Now turned pundit.
But I also dawned on me in talking about Jack Grealish that he's essentially Jamie Tartt.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's funny, yeah, but you're right.
All right,
yeah.
Here's the next one.
Okay.
Son.
Mm-hmm. Is Soccer is Life?
Yes.
Danny Rojas.
Thank you, Sam.
I'm not there yet.
Like the happiest guy
Danny
in the world.
Rojas.
Don't you kind of get that vibe?
No.
Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. That's a great comparison.
Yeah, I think even more so with Kane not in the picture, right? Because Son kind of feels like, hey, I'm the man now. Yeah,
he is the man.
Yeah.
And that to me, if in fact Kane moves on, that will be the most interesting part of that entire story is can Lucas Moura and Son and everybody else, Bergwijn, pick up the pieces and make something else out of that?
That's what they were trying to prove last week, weren't they? Yeah. And they did.
So Wolves hosting Tottenham at 8 a.m. on NBCSN. Southampton and Manchester United.
This has got to be a slaughter.
Well, why?
Because.
I agree. It should. Now, what we don't know yet, will we see the full-time starting debuts of Rafael Varane as the center back?
Hope so.
Pairing with Maguire?
He's an exciting signing.
I hope so. Yeah. Good Lord, I hope so. Yeah. And will we see Jadon Sancho start for United as well?
True.
Because that would be good,
too. I've forgotten about him. United is so deep in assets. I've forgotten about Sancho.
And Marcus Rashford's hurt, right? So he's not even in there.
Your team... and I'm not blowing smoke. Your team looks really good.
Well,
looks stacked. They're clicking now. You know they have to make it last 8 months. But
well, here's what they need. Paul Pogba has to continue to perform at some reasonable, equitable level to what he put in week one.
Mm-hmm.
Like if he's going to play that position on the left, who's off the field for him? Is it Marcus Rashford? Whoever it is, right? Mm-hmm. Pogba has to continue to do and connect and make all those plays that he made in week one and where he looks so amazing.
Midweek, he came out with more talk about he wants to go to Real next year, right? And so is that going
to
play?
Well, they're trying to sign him to a new deal, and nobody's really sure what's going to happen with that. If I heard tomorrow that Paul was getting sold, I flip back and forth, right? I do think at the end of the day, he just needs to put in his best performances here on out. That'll do nothing but drive his value.
Right.
It'll make the fans love him, even if he leaves the club.
So he's motivated at least,
He's got to be motivated, and he's got to play up to the promise of Paul Pogba.
Yeah.
And that really is critical. But at the end of the day, really what's going to make or break United's season is whatever they end up doing trying to solve the middle of the park issue with McFred. If McTominay and Fred can't continue to produce and defend or do what they need to do in the middle of the park, or if they can't find the right replacement. Now, there's some talk today that I saw that West Ham and Manchester United are in some sort of back and forth over Jesse Lingard, who had such a good time going to West Ham last year, and they would like to have him.
Mm-hmm.
United obviously would like to have Declan Rice.
Mm.
But,
so like
Declan
an old-fashioned trade?
Well, Rice is, saying he would be open to that, but he's concerned that West Ham will throw a price tag on him that will frighten Manchester United away. They've already spent a lot of money. So
yeah, that sixth position is so important, and Chelsea has that, and City has that.
So here's the other game at 10:30. It is a big one. It is Arsenal hosting Chelsea. I assume we're going to see the debut of Lukaku tomorrow for Chelsea, or the return of Lukaku?
Yeah, he's been in town and training for a week now, right? He started training right before their first game.
Right.
So he should be good to go. Word is that he will at least see minutes. Pulisic is out because of COVID, right? So that opens up. Actually, it would have opened up anyway, but now there's no... It won't be like, Pulisic is on the bench because Lukaku's starting. You know, it'll be somebody else on the bench.
Well, we didn't even get to the fact that the news about Pulisic testing positive for COVID does, in fact, endanger his involvement with the U.S. men's national team. His World Cup qualifying starts in less than 2 weeks, and he's got to travel, and so nobody's really sure how that's going
to
happen.
Multiple country travel, too. International travel to multiple countries, which makes it even more complicated because different countries have different requirements when it comes to COVID and how long you've had to been in quarantine. So, yeah, that's complicated. Now, Arsenal, they're in a bit of a pickle because they lost their first game. I even forgot who they lost. Oh, they lost to Brentford, right?
Mm-hmm.
And now they have to play Chelsea, who looked a really good opening day. And then if they lose this game, who do they have?
They have a difficult
schedule. They have City.
But here's the thing. I don't know if you've seen this. You know that Arsenal leads the Premier League in spending in the transfer window.
No.
Because they closed their deals this week. They got another goalkeeper. They got Aaron Ramsdale from Sheffield United.
Okay, but that didn't do it.
He was $30 million.
Wow.
And they signed Martin Odegaard, the kid that they got, the Norwegian kid that they had from Real Madrid. Yeah. They got him for almost $40 million.
Yeah,
and don't
good.
Forget, they spent $65 million on Ben White, the center back from Brighton. Who, by the way, didn't look really
good. No, he looked bad. So, but that's a one-gamer. Ben White will be fine. He won't be like that bad every week.
But just think about the overflowing well of attacking talent that Tuchel has at his disposal.
We're putting the cart ahead of the horse here. But let's just say Arsenal starts off 3 losses after 3 matches against...
Why would you do that to my Gunner friends?
Yeah.
Our good Gunner P1s?
They're all over the place, man. I think they're like the biggest fan base in the U.S., by the way, or close
are
to
they?
It.
Are they? Yeah,
the
wouldn't West surprise
Coast.
Me.
What happens to Arteta? I mean, that's too early. That's too early to move him, obviously. But, man,
I think like Lars told us in the preview or last week when he was on, that it's just it would not be like Arsenal to make a change at the coaching position this early.
Yeah. No, he's right.
And then the next question is, if you get rid of Arteta, who are you going to replace him with?
True. That's always the question asked when people want coaches out. And you ask that and they're like, oh, I don't know. Yeah. True.
So they got a lot of moving parts.
It's true. It's just it's a tough schedule for them. Now, they get a result against Chelsea. All that goes out the window and they can relax a little bit. But they did not look good last week.
I think if they ended up with some sort of draw tomorrow, they would be delighted
with
that.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. Just to get some stability. Good game Monday, too.
Yeah, there is a good game on Monday at 2 p.m., and that's also on NBCSN, is West Ham and Leicester.
That's a very good game and a very intriguing game because, to me, both of those teams are fighting for top 6 spots. And I don't think you're as a big believer in West Ham as I am, but I think West Ham has a decent shot at a top 6 finish.
Both those teams need to get their points now before their European competitions start, become real weights.
Yeah.
And the reason why I'm down on Ham is because – that sounded really weird. Mm-hmm. The reason why I'm down on West Ham is because I think the weight of playing in Europa League weighs more on them than it does Leicester
and
their
depth,
European
right?
competition.
Yeah.
So,
right. Okay.
So those are the games tomorrow starting at 8 a.m. You got lots to choose from. And there you go. All right, when we come back, it is the start of the Italian Serie A, and we've got our very own correspondent, Daniel, up next, along with some Weston McKennie news here on the Kick Around. Welcome back to the Kick Around. As normal, Saturdays 2 to 4 here on the Ticket. I'm Peter, he's Andy. And because of the influx of young American talent into different European leagues, we made the decision in Season 8 of the Kick Around, we're going to start spending time talking about leagues other than MLS and the Premier League. We need to start spending some time on the Bundesliga and Serie A, the latter of which kicked off today, and since we don't spend a lot of time watching it, we thought we'd bring in an expert, and on live now, the Buyer's Barricade Ticket Hotline is none other than Daniel Robertson. How you doing, Rob? Daniel, I'm so screwed up right now. Sorry about that, bud.
Ragazzi, che bella giornata. Calcio is back.
It is. Now, Daniel is noted here. Daniel used to work at FC Dallas. He used to do some of the game presentation and then magically took a job and moved to Italy and worked on the social media team for a small club called Juventus.
Yes, that was an unbelievable experience, unbelievable behind the scenes, seeing how a club like that operates. And my last month at the club was the month that Cristiano Ronaldo joined. So,
So I'll go grab some coffee.
Let's all wheels off. Did you watch a lot of Serie A before you knew you were taking a job at Juventus?
No, not really, to be honest. I was more of a Premier League fan, obviously MLS as well. Didn't watch a ton of Serie A outside of, the Champions League teams and stuff like that. So it was really a crash course in everything Calcio. And, you catch on pretty quick just how massive it is in Italy.
All right. So we were kind of getting ready to do the segment today, and I got an emergency text from you claiming that there's some Weston McKennie rumors going around.
Yes, that is the big news du jour for U.S. soccer fans right now. And, you know, there's some other rumors we may talk about in a second. But I think this one, there's a lot of smoke potentially to this fire with Weston McKennie. Now, there's talk in the Italian media that potentially there could be a swap with Tottenham, looking Weston McKennie going to the Premier League, and Tanguy Ndombele, who's been rumored on the way out at Tottenham, coming to the Premier or to Serie A. You know,
like
we'll
an
see.
Old-fashioned trade, a swap, like you get our player
that's
and we get yours.
That's how Juventus does deals, man. They did this last year with Barcelona when they signed Artur and sent Pjanic to Barcelona. There's a lot of behind the scenes, let's say accounting work that goes into it, where they can maybe cook the books a little bit and get
so
their-
very Italian, by the way.
Okay.
Yes, there's always an ulterior motive.
So that would be interesting. Now, why would they want? I mean, are they not happy with Weston, or is the idea of getting Ndombele just too attractive that maybe they're willing to part with him to make that deal?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think, you know, Juventus was able to sign Weston at a number around 20 million euros, which, okay, that's quite a bit. But in this day and age and in this sort of market, I don't think 20 million euros for a player like him, obviously with the marketing side attached to it, I don't think that that's a crazy number. And if you were able to move him on for a player that maybe you value at 35, 40 million, I forget what Ndombele went for, but I think it was considerably around there or even more. I think that if you're Juventus, maybe Ndombele fits what you're looking for a little better. And if you're Weston, shoot, a move to the Premier League. I mean, I don't think anyone's going to turn that down.
All right. Now, the other big news is the weird position, and it always seems very weird with Cristiano Ronaldo. Is, you know, what is he? Is he happy at Juventus? He sees Messi get a big deal to go to PSG, and then suddenly you just get this weird vibe that now Cristiano Ronaldo's jealous, and he posts this overly long social media thing this week that, I don't know, people, you could read into it however you want. I'm interested, since you've been around the guy before, when you saw that message online, what was your take on it?
Well, you didn't think that Cristiano Ronaldo was going to let Messi have the headlines for more than like a week or two, right? I mean, come on.
Fair point.
So basically what happened was someone that's close to Cristiano, has a lot of Instagram photos with him and stuff, went on Spanish media and said that Carlo Ancelotti, who is back at Real Madrid, who Ronaldo had his best years with, is interested in bringing him back. And, you know, Cristiano pretty quickly squashed the rumors. However, I don't think he minds at all his name being out there in the media. The issue is he's in his last year of his contract with Juventus. He's going to turn 37. He's making almost $80 million a year. This isn't just something that can come together and happen over a few days. I think Massimiliano Allegri came out and said yesterday that, look, Cristiano is staying. He's not going anywhere. But do you really think that this comes out of nowhere? I think Cristiano wanted to float it around a little bit and say, hey, I don't know if I want to go, but if you want me, I might come back, you know, so we'll see what happens, but I would not expect him to move.
So, right. But his deal goes through 2022, right? So
yes.
At next offseason, is there a chance he does go to PSG, as has been rumored?
I think absolutely. I think that he can't go to MLS for a few different reasons that maybe we won't talk about, but I don't see him going to the United States. Like I said, he's going to be 37. His wage is okay. He's not going to make $80 million after this contract, but if you're PSG, having potentially the two best players in football and maybe ever on the same team, even no matter how old they are, Juventus wants to get him off the books. That's for sure. He won't be back at Juventus after this year. That would be fun.
Yeah, especially if they end up selling Mbappe and getting a lot of money for that. The idea of having Neymar, Messi, and Ronaldo on a front line seems really ridiculous, and I don't know how well it would work, but it would sell a lot of jerseys and make a lot of television ratings for sure. All right, now after getting rid of Conte and winning the Serie A last year and changing coaches, Inter was an interesting story going in. Could they still screw it together? They end up winning today 4-0, and I think they look okay.
Yes, and they were up 2-0 after about 20 minutes. And an old name, Edin Dzeko, he's still around, 35, finds the score sheet. He was basically signed kind of as a stopgap replacement for Lukaku. He comes in and scores a goal, and yeah, no, they don't miss a beat. 14 goals over the four games today to start the season. It's been just a very exciting opening day.
Now, last week, we spun the Wheel of Allegiance for a lot of people here in the studio, and one of the results was Josh got Sassuolo. Right, Josh?
Sure did.
Okay. Now, Sassuolo beat Hellas Verona today 3-2, but you were telling Josh online that he kind of got lucky because he kind of got a cool little club to follow.
Yeah, Sassuolo is a really fun club. I mean, like I said on our preview show a couple weeks ago, if you want the club that actually can challenge for the title, challenge for the Champions League, a hipster club, Atalanta is the one you want. But if you want to go the next tier down, as the club that could finish 5th, 6th, 7th and plays really exciting football, it's Sassuolo. They've got Domenico Berardi, who's an Italian national team forward, still around. They sign those young players. They're a really exciting team, and it's kind of in their ethos to just attack, and we saw 5 goals today in the game against Verona. You got a good club, Josh. It's not going to be boring, that's for sure. There's not going to be many 1-0s when you watch Sassuolo.
So they're definitely not the Burnley of Serie A. They're more like Leeds.
Are they kind of a Leeds of Italian football?
They got the Leeds.
I like that. And you know, the interesting thing is Sassuolo has an interesting story behind them. They play in Reggio Emilia. They basically kicked out Reggiana from their own stadium. They own it now. If you remember a rant from Mike Piazza about 3 or 4 years ago, where he ranted against the club that basically kicked him out, look it up on YouTube if you haven't seen it yet. It's one of the funniest things you'll ever see.
And what club is the one that kicked him out? Which one did you mention?
Sassuolo is the club that kicked him out. Yeah,
that's the one. Okay.
That is the one.
Hey, so I have a question because I spun a team, and so I want to throw something by you, and you tell me if I'm doing this right. Ale, ale, viola.
Yeah,
did I get that right?
That sounds a little more French than Italian, to be honest.
Ale, ale, viola. How's that?
It would be more like die, viola. Now, die means let's go in Italian. That's not like D-I-E. It's D-A-I. So you would say, die, ragazzi, die, viola.
Die, viola. Okay, got it. I'm just learning.
Exactly.
Yeah, okay.
So is Fiorentina going to sell their striker? Because that's the one everybody's talking about them getting rid of for a whole bunch of money. And I think Tottenham actually has an interest in him as well. Vlahovic?
Vlahovic. He is one of the hottest names in Serie A right now. I think he scored 16 or 17 goals last year, 2021. His name was being floated when Erling Haaland's name was potentially being a transfer. He was being floated as the replacement for Erling Haaland at Dortmund. He is a very exciting striker, big, strong. If your team has him on your radar, I think you want him. Fiorentina is doing everything they can to hang on to him for another year. We'll see. Definitely watch that space over the next week.
What do you think he's valued at right now? Do you have any idea what number they're talking about selling him for?
Yeah, you'd have to top $50 million to sign him for sure.
Wow.
They've got him on a long-term deal. I would put him, if you're talking under 21 forwards in the world, I think right now he's probably top 5.
All right, now there are games tomorrow, and Juventus does play at Udinese tomorrow, which is on CBS Sports Network. They're also showing these games on Paramount Plus, the entire league on Paramount Plus. The other game to keep an eye on, two of them actually, Andy and I's Fiorentina is at Roma, which has Brian Reynolds. Now, I don't know if Brian will get any time under Jose Mourinho, but we'll see. But the other game to watch at 1:45, Napoli is playing Venezia, which has two young Americans on it, which includes former FC Dallas midfielder Tanner Tessman. And they are a super minnow that has come in, that's gotten promoted up in the league, and I think it's going to be interesting to see how they fare in Serie A this year.
Yeah, and what a romantic spot for them to start out their Serie A journey. But the Stadio, I believe it's the Stadio Armando Maradona now, the San Paolo in Napoli, in Naples. A battle of Venice versus Naples, probably the best battle between those two cities in hundreds of years. That is going to be just, it's going to be enthralling, right? I expect them to get pounded, but we will see what happens. They struggled in their Coppa Italia match midweek against the Serie B team. Tanner Tessman did get on the field, played about 30 minutes. It's at the end of the day, that's the match you want to watch tomorrow.
He missed his PK, didn't he?
He missed his PK. Mm. He did. But yeah, Paramount Plus, and you're already going to buy it for Champions League, so you might as well sign up. You can't resist. Watch the coverage. Watch the game from the Maradona. There's fans back in the stadium in Naples. It's going to be fascinating.
Hey, Daniel, I have to admit, and Peter's going to hate me for this because we're Fiorentina brothers, and I'm not going to leave Fiorentina behind. But I do have Wheel of Allegiance envy because a certain someone else on the show got what you labeled the foodie dream of a team, and that's Bologna. Bologna. How do you say it? Bologna.
Beautiful Bologna. Beautiful Bologna. Bologna. Also Bologna. Reggio Emilia, the food capital of Italy, and that is saying something, right?
Yes. Now, how did I not get that team?
You're not fat enough.
I mentioned this on Twitter. If you can watch Stanley Tucci's show, I forget what it's called.
I have, Daniel, multiple times.
The mortadella in Bologna.
Stop now, please. Don't rub it in.
Oh, you have to go there. Anyone going to Italy, make a stop. It's a college town. They've got these two crooked spires that you can climb up to the top of. You have to go to Bologna. They have an old romantic stadium as well. So, yeah, Sam, you got the best choice because at the end of the day, food is what matters, right? So
amen,
you
brother.
Got the best
yes.
Here.
I just imagined it smells like bologna, the whole town.
It's wonderful,
well,
Peter.
It smells delicious.
Right. Sam, you won.
I'm sure it does. All right, so Venezia and Napoli. Napoli, by the way, is a dark horse to win this season, the whole thing this year, right?
Yeah, you know, they're always around. They always kind of flatter to deceive. They start out hot, and inevitably the fans in Naples just put so much pressure. If you've seen the Maradona documentary, I mean, it couldn't explain the city of Naples any better, where the better they do, the more pressure comes on from the fans and with fans back in the stadium. But like I said, it's never boring, so you're definitely going to want to watch tomorrow.
Daniel Robertson, thank you, sir. Outstanding content. We love having you on the show.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
Ciao. How's that? Ciao.
Don't forget, we'll let you follow Daniel. We'll give you his Twitter account over on ours so you can follow Daniel and all of his stuff. He's got amazing stories to tell about his short time over with Juventus. It is pretty great stuff. All right, when we come back, it's time to catch up with good old Ted Lasso. We do some reviewing next year on The Kick Around.
Text Mustangs to 22126 for your chance to win a pair of tickets to the SMU season opener against Abilene Christian University on Saturday, September 4th at 6 p.m. For more info, go to smumustangs.com or call 214-SMU-GAME. That's Mustangs 22126 for your chance to win some tickets.
We'll do America's favorite soccer segment, The Dribble, including, was it the fastest red card in the sport's history, coming up before the end of the show.
Now I'm intrigued.
Now, Andy, I do feel like you, me, Sam, everybody on the show, feel a little bit short shrifted when it comes to Ted Lasso, because we were so early on the Ted Lasso train. We may have been the only passengers. And now it's the most popular TV show.
Okay.
And
yeah.
Well, I'm glad that is.
Yeah. There's nothing wrong with that.
Well, I just wish we got more credit for our early promotion of the show.
You wish you'd get more.
He's rightfully jealous.
And here's the thing. I'm very worried that another show on the ticket will get somebody from Ted Lasso on their show before we do. And I know Sam is working deal. And by the way, if you're a P1 of the Kick Around, please help Sam Hale.
Please help me.
In his crusade to get anybody. I don't care who it is. I mean, I wanted Jason Sudeikis, but he, you know.
It's a maybe still. He hasn't said no.
Right, I know.
He's a little big time, but.
I don't care who it is.
Yeah.
I just get somebody, and I'm afraid it'll end up on the Hang Zone or, you know, the hard, any of them.
It's probably the musers. That
and
are
it's be probably used. Better for the show
Which
that they go on this.
Which would be great for the ticket,
right,
Peter.
Right, I know. But, I mean, selfishly, I feel like we deserve having somebody on the show first. And we began reviewing season two several weeks ago after episode one aired. And then we went on hiatus. Mm-hmm. And then several episodes have taken place since then. So now we're up to episode five, which debuted last night. Have you watched all five episodes, Andy Swift?
I have. In fact, after episode one, we spoke about it on the show. And my wife finally is like, you guys have been talking about this show. I want to start watching it. So we watched the entire season one.
So she hadn't seen season one.
No, we watched the entire season one. I rewatched episode one of season two, and now we're caught up and we're watching it together.
Did she love it as much as you do?
Yes, she very much enjoys it.
All right, I expect that from your wife. Yeah. All right. So I don't know how to really go through this. We'll try not to spoil too much for people that have not watched all the episodes. Does everybody agree, or do we have any kind of disagreement as to the quality of the show going, you know, so far through season two as compared to what we fell in love with in season one?
That was my worry, is that there would be some kind of drop off because, you know, our expectations were going to be so high after that great season one that season two wasn't going to meet expectations. But I think it's actually gotten a little bit better in some ways.
Agreed.
Peter doesn't agree.
No, it's not that I don't agree. There are things that are happening or not happening in the show. Well, there are things that they've done in the show that I really liked, and then they just kind of drop them for weird narrative reasons I can't figure out, and then they just have moved along with the story. So, for example, the first thing is the issue with the shirt sponsor. So they made an entire episode. Episode number three is this amazing story. You know, Dubai Air has been the shirt sponsor. And Sam, one of the players, is from Nigeria. And they build the storyline that his country has a problem with the nation state ownership of Dubai Air. And there's some political, and he puts up a protest and all the players covered up Dubai Air. And they break the sponsorship of that
company.
And
it's symbolic of other movements by athletes. Right?
And in this last episode, they, without saying a single thing, they show up with a new shirt sponsor, which is Banter, which is the fictional dating app that they've been talking a lot about and have other parts of the story going on.
Right, but so that kind of explains itself, though, right?
Well, I guess. I just feel like that the opportunity to kind of talk about that and build off that storyline was an opportunity missed. The other thing, because we don't have a ton of time, but the other thing that I want to, that I seems weird to me is after making so much noise about the extended run of ties and then the loss, we jump forward in time somehow, and now we're almost to mid-season, and they're 4-4-7. Mm-hmm. And
no, 4-4-14 or something like that.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Right. They've won 4, lost 4, and the rest of them are draws, and I can't figure out, what about when they won some of these games? We didn't see that either. So that those are weird things that they're doing narratively with the show that are just this. If I'm being nitpicky, that's the thing that I'm a little put off
by. Yeah, so, and I disagree. You know, we can't really dive really deep, and also we don't want to spoil things. I disagree on both accounts. One, I think, is self-explanatory, the whole situation with the jersey sponsor, because they went to the dating app, and that's kind of been a theme. And then it was obvious that the other sponsor was going to drop them. That was kind of the theme as well. It was like they were doing it despite knowing that they were going to get dropped.
I guess I just wanted both those things fleshed out more. And maybe they will be later in the season.
And then the wins and ties and draws in that narrative, it's not about soccer.
I know.
You know, and it's not about their wins and losses. And my thing is, there are so many life lessons crammed into every episode that it's just like sometimes that's a little overwhelming. It's like, give me one or two life lessons at a time so I can kind of absorb those and think about those for a little bit before you hit me with another one 3 minutes later, which is like, that's a life lesson too.
What about the oddly weird and quick and very little discussed personality change of Jamie Tart?
That bothers me a little bit. I don't think there was enough character development. It was a little too shallow.
Because he went from being, you know, a Jersey Shore douchebag, coming back to the team and then suddenly apologizing to everybody, having one session with the psychologist, and now he's seemingly in good with everybody.
Do you think like it's all going to unravel at
the end? Something's going to happen there.
I think so.
It has to.
Right.
And then we get to the weird episode, although very enjoyable. It's weird because it's a Christmas episode in August in real time, right?
Yeah.
But the setting is Christmas in London, or in England. Well, I guess it is London. Christmas in England is way bigger over there than it is over here. Mm-hmm. And it's a very heartwarming and special episode, but it's a one-off kind of thing. Like, it really doesn't tie too much into the rest of the story.
And you were explaining because they could produce two additional shows right after the story was written, and so it had to kind of be a one-off?
Yes, I was told... I read somewhere that they were doing 10, and then Apple said, hey, could you do 12, and you can do two one-off episodes to make it 12 if you want to do that.
What I want to know is, I know that they had different episodes are written by different people, and Sudeikis, you know, he developed the show, but there are inside, soccer insider, not jokes, but yeah, some of them are inside jokes, and it's really witty. Some of the soccer perspective they bring in, and they're not obvious about it because not everybody that watches is a soccer person, but they're intentionally put in there for the soccer people to kind of get, I get that one. Just like there are movie lines that not everybody's going to get. But I'm just wondering if they have like a soccer savvy writer amongst them that kind of contributes to every episode's writing.
I don't know. Brendan Hunt, who is Coach Beard, he wrote the first episode, by the way. And I don't, that's a really good question. I'm sure they've got some sort of Premier League or, you know, soccer expert that's helping them out on certain things. You know, they don't show too much of the games. And you're right, the show's not about soccer in any way, shape, and form. And when they show some of the action, like last night's episode, is it McAdoo? Is that his name, the character?
Yeah, Isaac McAdoo.
Thank you. That guy in real life is way too fat to be a Premier League or championship level soccer player.
Much less
player.
The captain.
Much less the captain of the team.
Right.
But I enjoyed the scene with him and Roy Kent going back to the fields to try to get his head right with ball, and I thought that was fantastic. I thought the whole kind of way they played out the Roy Kent quitting his pundit's job to go back, and take up Ted Lasso's offer. Was great.
And Jason's character, Ted Lasso's character, so many witty one-liners that you want to remember and use yourself in real life. But there's so many, you forget them. It's just brilliant writing to get away with it because it's almost like Leave It to Beaver with a lot of cussing. But it's more fun than Leave It to Beaver. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's kind of that kind of life lesson show, but more real.
Yes. Now, two notes. Do we all agree or disagree that the weird little, so the owner, Rebecca, is chatting up somebody on this dating app. Now, she doesn't know who it is. She knows nothing about them other than she really enjoys what they say to it. Maybe it is Cray-Tray. God, wouldn't that be awesome if it was Cray-Tray?
It
just pops up.
But they kind of try to lay out the idea that maybe who she's chatting up is, in fact, Ted Lasso. And I'm wondering if that's a red herring.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I think it might be somebody else, and it might not even be somebody male.
Sam?
I think it is somebody else. I have a theory on who it is.
Who do you think it is?
I think it's Coach Nate.
No. Okay, interesting. I was actually wondering if it was Coach Beard, because Coach Beard seems to be the type of guy that would read the author or poet that whoever it is was quoting
in
the app.
And his fling is just a fling.
And he just has a fling, The other really... awesome, and this quantifies as best as I can do it in terms of what I really love for the show, and it's the smallest little thing, the little side story they told last night about Higgins and his wife, which is related to the song that Sam played, coming back, the Rolling Stones song, She's a Rainbow, and I just thought that Higgins telling the story about how they met and why that song's important to them, and then that little scene at the very end of the show where she appears at the game and how they just saw each other and lit up. I just thought that was fantastic.
Oh, perfect. Did you get a little teary-eyed?
No, it's just so sweet. And
it is, but that's the beauty of the show, and
they're middle-aged, basic, simple people. They're not the pretty people on the show, but they're so in love.
That was the point, and that's the point he's trying to get across to the owner of the team.
Rom-communism.
Yeah, right. That's the point he's trying to get across to the owner of the team who's on the dating app, and ultimately we will find out somebody will fall in love with somebody else and looks won't matter and all that. Right?
Okay.
But those are the life lessons we get one of those every 3 minutes on this show.
So here's my final question for you guys, because the point of this show was Ted Lasso's insistence that rom-communism would be the way they go, because in rom-coms, things work out the way they're supposed to, and you just have to follow that. Will they get relegated again this year?
Well, this is my fear, because I thought you know, I think we all assumed that they were going to be in the hunt to get re-promoted, right? And starting off the season with 8 straight draws, and the record is not that important now. So if it was more, if they were going to be closer to getting promoted, they would have made a bigger deal out of the wins.
Right.
And they haven't.
Sam?
I think they're going to end up sneaking into the playoffs, the championship, and that's how they're going to get promoted again. It's going to be really ugly and really tight, but there's going to be like some big moment in like episode 11 or 12 where Ted has a revelation. That's how they do it.
But is that where everything works out, or is just saving themselves from relegation again how everything works itself out?
See, I think it's everything works out because Ted works out his own issues. I think this is a micro
and will the psychologist get
issue.
The psychologist get through to him in some way?
I think so.
Yeah, at
the end. All right. Well, episode 6, titled The Signal.
By the way, I think it's the psychologist that is texting with
Oh.
Me.
Yeah. Interesting. Mm-hmm. Debuts next Friday. I should also point out that with the aforementioned change in shirt sponsor, I had a conversation this morning with the dude over at E6 Sports, who is working on changing his Ted Lasso offering so that he has up-to-date banter shirt sponsored Ted Lasso jerseys available
and
coming up very soon. Yeah. He is selling shirts all over the globe, dude.
Nice.
So we'll have those featured along with some new Kick Around shirts on our website, thekickaround.com, here in the coming days. So check that out. All right, when we come back, it's America's favorite soccer segment. It is The Dribble, next on The Kick Around. Well, look at us here. We've gotten to the final segment of today's Kick Around session. We will be back next week with more soccer talking to you. Enjoy. And don't forget, you can always check out old episodes and stuff via our website, thekickaround.com, where you can also find at the bottom of the page the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance. Mm-hmm. We have one now for the Premier League, the Bundesliga, and Serie A. And you can just go on there and spin the wheel and find yourself. Now, let me also make a point here. The wheels are not on the website for you to spin it until you get the club you want. Because I saw some of this happening. I was getting messages from people. Yes. Oh, I spun it and I finally got T-Max.
Just like, pick a team then.
Then just pick a team.
Yeah.
Bunch of cheaters.
Exactly. The way this works.
You got to be like me.
Yeah, Burnley.
You got to be like Josh. You got to let the wheel gift you a club.
Yes.
Because the wheel will only give you as much as you can handle.
It's a divine magical object. We established this last week.
Thank you, Sam. Thank you for saying it that way. So, we wanted to continue that. So I do not have a Bundesliga team.
No, you don't.
So how about, because I've never actually used the Supreme Wheel of Allegiance myself. Mm-hmm. So how about now I go ahead and spin it for my own personal use. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Andy, you have the controls to the wheel.
Uh-huh.
It is now time for the
Supreme Wheel of Allegiance.
Spin it, Andy. Spin it. Round and rounds where it stops, nobody knows. What awesome Bundesliga club.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you got this team. You lucky son of a...
Don't say it.
Don't say what it is. Leipzig.
I got Leipzig.
Wow.
Yeah, Tyler Adams. I got the most evil...
And the American coach.
And the American coach.
To coach the national team.
All right, so Leipzig's my team.
You and Jake are now Leipzig buddies.
That's right. We're Leipzig blood brothers.
You're all corporate.
We're the club that all the rest of the Bundesliga hates because it's ruined German football.
Well, mine is Eintracht. This goes
Yours
back
is Eintracht.
A while because of Dallas Cup. So here we are. We got our teams.
We'll spin
these guys on future shows.
Yes, we will get everybody else on there. Don't forget, you can go spin the wheel yourself. But please be cool. Just spin it once and accept whatever the wheel gives you. And when you're done, you should take a screen grab and tweet it at us. And if you do Serie A, by the way, Daniel has promised that if you include him in the message back, he'll tell you a fun fact about your Serie A club.
What a great bit.
It's a fantastic bit. It is very, very good. Now we should all, let's do this. It's time now for The Dribble. Speaking of the Bundesliga, since Tyler Kern is not available today, he is on vacation. I will report that there was a bit of an up. No, not a bit. massive upset in the Bundesliga today. Freiburg beat Dortmund at home 2-1 on two very nice goals. No Erling Haaland goal today.
Which is so rare. Like, it speaks volumes of him that he plays a game and doesn't score, and we're like, oh my God, he didn't score.
Nope.
It was a weak team they played, though.
And also, speaking of German football, there was a massive death and loss this week. Gerd Müller passed away, and Mr. Müller, Der Bomber, was a big deal in German soccer for a very, very long time. I was looking at some of his stats, and just the most basic, simple one is the one to listen to. He essentially played for three clubs in his time. Nordgren, he appeared 31 times, scored 51 goals. Let me repeat that. He played in 31 games, scored 51 goals. He then spent the bulk of his career, obviously, at Bayern Munich, where he made 453 appearances, scored 398 goals.
That's bad. Pretty good.
That's stunning. And then we all don't want anybody to forget, he did come over to the United States where he played in the NASL for Fort Lauderdale, the Strikers. He made 71 appearances and scored 38 goals.
He was held to less goals than just shows you.
The very difficult NASL.
A classic number nine, and with the big goal of his career internationally, of course, in the 74 World Cup where they... eventually won.
Yeah, he was a big thing over there. And if you've never checked out the career of Gerd Müller, you really should take some time to read up about him. He was quite the dude and much beloved over there. And it was a big, big deal that he passed away the other day at the age of, I think it was 80-something, something like that. And he had been dealing with, I think, dementia or something. And anyway, so there you go. That was very, very sad. The other news I wanted to share was some weird stories about La Liga. We haven't talked too much about La Liga. Barcelona was fascinating because the whole Messi thing has been weird. But Memphis Depay was one of the players they were buying. And it turned out that the only way that Barcelona could get away with registering Depay to be able to play was that they needed Piqué, who's kind of the leader of the team, to take a huge pay cut so that they could... Right. Fit it on all the numbers.
Yeah. The numbers were so bad that if Messi would have played for $0, they still would have been over that salary.
Yeah, like 110%. Yeah. And right. I think they're supposed to be 70% of all revenue is supposed to be limited for, they were well over 100%. Well, anyway, Piqué took the pay cut. Depay was able to play. And for the first goal of the season, Depay served a goal to Piqué who finished it or something. Some weird story about that. That was interesting. The other one is Valencia. They had a Valencia player get a red card on opening day, 39 seconds into the game.
What did he do?
It's like a two-footed tackle. And I don't know if he just walked away thinking he could get away with it because it was the first game of the season and they're in the first minute.
They essentially, though...
But no, and they ended up coming back and
they tied played the whole game a man
the
down.
The entire game man down.
And they ended up tying.
And what I don't know, and I haven't seen this yet, if in fact that is the fastest ejection of a player in a top five league.
It has to be.
I've never seen anything like that.
Unless somebody cussed out the ref at kickoff or something.
Yeah. I also told you that once upon a time in a previous episode of The Dribble about Olivia Moultrie. She is the 15-year-old girl that signed the big Nike deal back when she was 13. And the legal battle surrounding her ability to play as a professional player for the Portland Thorns. Well, that finally got settled. She was allowed to sign with the club. She's been playing in games. She scored her first goal for the Thorns, a beautiful free kick, at the age of 15.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Isn't that nuts?
Yeah,
insane.
Yep. And she's really 15, like when Adu was playing.
Yeah.
Right?
Nobody thinks 14. That Olivia Moultrie is actually like 27 or anything like that.
Maybe Andy does.
Unless Andy does. Are you hoping?
Making an allegation sir?
Have you set a clock or something, Andy?
No, I'm just saying when Freddie Adu scored a goals countdown? At that age, we were like...
Okay, we're going two different directions with this.
Oh. I was thinking Andy had set an Olivia Moultrie countdown clock.
That's just creepy. Don't do that.
Don't do that, Andy. That would be wrong of you. Okay, And we haven't done a segment on it today, but we should report that the good times that we were enjoying for FC Dallas, they went through a four-game undefeated streak that made everybody think that things had gotten better, and they had. Things had gotten better.
All the while we were off air.
All while we were off air.
we did banging goals, winning games. We couldn't talk about it.
Yep.
We come back, we have a show, we start talking about them, and what happens, Peter?
They have two home games, and they lose them both, which is the first time Dallas has lost two consecutive home games since the year 2013.
Wow, that's
a pretty big, that's a good run.
It is.
Of,
it's a great run.
Of, you know, they've always been a very, very good home team. Now, problematic for Lucci and the rest of the team is that they blew a bunch of games early, home games early in the season and tied them. And have been terrible on the road. They've only won once on the road. Now, after losing two games at home, by the way, against two very good first, essentially first, second place teams in Kansas City and Seattle, now they have to go on the road. They played tonight in Houston.
Yeah. This is as close as it gets to must win now. At this stage of the season, when you're playing a lesser team like this, to have a chance to get in the playoffs, you can't drop points.
No, they really can't. But part of it is, if you're trying to watch the game tonight and can't find it on 21, well, you can't because the Cowboy game is on. So you have two options. If you're in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, you're supposed to be able to stream it on the club's website, or it will be available on Channel 29 in Spanish. I know it's wonky, but it is what it is. So that's Dallas and Houston tonight. I think the game kicks off at 7:30. Let's see if they can't turn things around and get Ricardo Pepi back to scoring again. And that will wrap it up for another fun-filled edition of The Dribble.
Maybe no FC Dallas talk next week. Just to help them out.
Oh, yeah. Because if they lose again,
and
we just shut up and not talk about them next week. Now, remember, next week is the week you and I are scheduled to road trip together on Sunday.
Yeah, day after the
The show to get in a rental car together.
We'll have to talk about it.
The Gordo-George trip that didn't happen down to Austin because the next game is Dallas at Austin at the new Q2 Stadium.
Nice.
Are you looking forward to a road trip with your soccer talking BFF?
I'm looking forward to a road trip.
Hmm.
That's not a great endorsement.
Checking out the new stadium. That'll be fun.
Still not a great endorsement.
We got different rooms.
Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, blah,
we have a live microphone.
It's 3 hours in the car. That's
actual audio from the road trip.
It'll be fun, Peter. I'll just sit back and nap while you
Are you
going
to bring snacks?
No, we should stop and get galoshes.
Okay. I'm not going to Buc-ee's, by the way. I'm not a Buc-ee's person.
No, we're stopping in...
I know. Kolaches are different than Buc-ee's. I'm just saying I don't want to go to Buc-ee's. All right. Thanks, Ryan, for doing tickers. Thanks, Sam, for producing. Josh, thank you for running the board and playing funny sound effects. P1s, we love and adore you. Go out, get stuck in, and win your 50s.
Yes! 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 Oh, hell yes!
Broadcasting live from the TXU Energy Mothership at Victory Plaza, hard by the AAC. This is Sports Radio 96.7 and 1310, The Ticket. KTCK AM Dallas-Fort Worth, KTCK FM Flower Mound.